The Sunday Show is back after a week away. Welcome to business favourite, Neil De Beer, the president of the United Independent Movement. Morning, Neil.
Yeah, Chris, good to be back. Looks like there's only one thing that trumped Donald Trump or the non-influential budget. It is us not being on last week's Sunday. Chris, did we get haunted, scripted, flooded messages? Where are we? What's going on? And although absolutely great to be missed, it was, I think, a terrible Sunday for many. But here we are. We are back in the seat. And Chris, you are safe and sound, and that's more important. So we are very happy to be back on this Sunday.
Indeed, Neil. Now, a lot happened while you and I were off air. Yesterday, the African National Congress and the Democratic Alliance held apparently constructive talks. Does that mean that the government of national disunity has once again become a government of national unity?
Yeah, you know, Chris, it's like a guy that went to a petrol station and said to the guy that pulls in petrol to see if his flicker light is working. And the guy stood there and went, yes, no, yes, no. It is like the government of national unity. It is like a continual Ike dropped synopsis of then we on, then we off, then we leaving, then you leave, I leave. No, I won't leave. You must leave. And it is becoming, may I say now, the norm. So cry wolf every time something happens where there is going to be a gap between the people's thinking, if there is. We are going to get these huge statements, starting off with the continued person who I think has got no substance, Fikile Mbalula, who's just becoming worse every day. And obviously the barrage of the counterclaims from the GNU. So I think, you know, saying anything about will the GNU hold, will it not hold, I think we're getting now used to Gogga maak vir baba bang, you know. So we will have to continue. I think both parties are getting more and more the understanding. They don't need each other, in actual fact, because every week they spill out to us as the citizens how they can leave and why they should leave and on what formula should they leave. So, Chris, it's not just like a marriage and now we are settling on the basis that we could get divorced. They continually refer back to the divorce clause. So, you know, that doesn't help us. One thing I will tell you again and again, the GNU is what is required. There is no alternative. We need to ensure that cool heads and calm heads are clear. And the good news is that we at least now have an understanding. Talks are being held. While you were away and I was not here, the ANC made a statement to say they are willing to press the reset button. Chris, also clear from the stories yesterday, there are no talks on including more outside parties into the GNU. They are keeping with what they've got. The EFF have been spoken to already. Remember the ANC committing last week that they will speak to every party to find a way of the impasse of the budget. I understand this afternoon it is the Freedom Front time with Corne Mulder. Yesterday, the DA. They've spoken to MK. MK just said no, they are not joining if the DA is there and echoing the EFF. So So yeah, it seems God waters and we look forward to that. And maybe, Chris, we could later touch on the VAT scenario.
But meanwhile, the budget circus is still on the road, Neil. That caravan hasn't stopped.
No, it can't stop. I mean, you know, if you take into consideration that out of the 400 parliamentary votes, 12 people in that parliament was the vote that swung it, that the financial framework can be passed. Because that day, the people that voted for it were jumping up in that tent
again, that tent, performing in their circus as if they won a massive victory. The parties that voted against, like your DA and Freedom Front and MK and EFF, lost that vote by 12. The Action SA, Mushi Mayamani, the twinkling of the new entries of small parties, joined the circus of the ANC and passed the financial framework. Now, Chris, I'm telling you, have you ever seen a cat on a hot plate? Or a dog slipping on butter? I saw now these political parties running their moor off to get off an ice-laden, self-created platform where it's melting, because now we are hearing that the 1st of May, nogal Workers' Day, VAT 0.5, it's a conclusion, it's a done deal, Chris. Many of us have already received WhatsApps and SMSs from our banks saying that we must prepare 1 May, 0.5% of the VAT will be increased. Hulle het gelieg. Simple. They are talking utter rubbish now that they are finding out that the ANC is not going to commit to what several parties said they would. Now, Chris, sorry, you are surprised? You are surprised that the ANC is not going to keep to their word. Watter kukulala toto land is jy? This is the ANC. So, we've had Herman, we've had Michael, we've had Musi, we've had everybody. Now get up and say, nay, nay, we only passed the fiscal framework which allowed them 30 days to come back and replace that. Luister gou, julle is moer toe, die koel is deur die kerk, die deurie lê op die water, the milk has spilled on the floor, it's now called mud. Julle is te laat, boys. It is over, and now we count the days. Chris, if 1 May comes, and ka-ching, you are going to pay 0.5% more on VAT, this country must then come up and say, Lichtbeck, liar, and then they need to see how will they get exposed, like taking a massive kraken, putting up in a Christmas cake, and seeing the flint go down. I'm waiting for the kabang, and so's this country. I am telling you, Chris, they made a mistake, they are burdening the poor, and they are going to pay that price on the 1st of May. If it doesn't happen, bread and milk cheaper.
Meanwhile, United States President Donald Trump doesn't want to come to the G20 because of what he calls land repossession or land confiscation and genocide. But economic freedom fighters Commander-in-Chief Julius Malema has warned him, or as he calls him, that tariff-wielding barbarian, that he will be lucky to still be president at the time the G20 is held in November, Neil.
Yeah, at times when you meet a moron and this person says to you, there's a certain value, you look at that and you go, take it from whom it comes. I mean, that jumping little jelly toit in his orange little sliver is definitely non persona non grata in anybody's mind anymore. I mean, this guy, really, do we still take Fricky Julius Malema serious? I mean, he promised that he will build one school and get into power. He couldn't find the address. Nonsense. Chris, may I read, because I don't want to get it wrong, the tweet on Twitter on X from Donald J. Trump, posted 11 April at 1747. How could we be expected to go to South Africa for the very important G20 meeting when land confiscation and genocide is the primary topic of conversation? They are taking the land of white farmers and then killing them and their families. The media refuses to report on this. The United States has held back all contributions to South Africa. Is this where we want to be for a G20?
I don't think so, from Donald J. Trump.
How accurate is that statement, Neil?
Let's unpack it.
I
want to quickly speak about a word that is used so freely and frequently, but it is the hard truth. Chris, I'm going to expose something here today. I want to go to Rwanda. I want to go to Kigali. That horrific period, as you remember, in the late 90s, when a physical genocide took place within a couple of months. We remember the footage of millions of people hacked to death by machetes and the word "kill the cockroach" resonating across the world. Chris, we also remember nobody, not one single international country in the world, went to Rwanda to help them. We then study the tapes and we study the news of that era. And the Americans are asked directly, why did you never ever intervene in the genocide? And the answer was, what genocide? There is no genocide. Yes, there is a mass killing, but there is definitely not a genocide. And for 3 months, because, well, day-to-day slaughter took place, an actual genocide then was taking place. Only when the United Nations recognized there is a factual genocide in Rwanda did the world come. You see, there lies the trick. You may not apparently say the word genocide because, according to international fact, the minute genocide is agreed, that genocide is adopted, the world, according to its statutory legal representation, must go and they have to intervene. Chris, the word genocide of white farmers in this country, if you take it as I have just mentioned, is not according to the normal framework of the word genocide. What is genocide? We can't say. Is it 100,000? Is it 1 million? Is it, like in Germany, 6 million? It is a sad day. We have to put numerics to life. But they are refusing to accept in the UN principle the word genocide coupled to people in South Africa. And that is a very, very harsh word, a legal word, and a controversial word. And that's why we have the football, Chris, of this word called white genocide. According to the Rwanda statistic, there is not a genocide of white people in this country. What there is a very clear murder rate that is unacceptable, not just on the farming community, not just on the white community, but South Africans in general, more than 80 a day. So Donald Trump is now using the word genocide. The American government is recognizing in a tweet, they are referring to this as a genocide. So what begs the answer, Chris, to close this subject, is if so, and the United States of America is acknowledging, even if it is in written format from its leadership, that there's a genocide in this country, why is there not a huge UN and American delegation in South Africa with immediate effect to do an analysis and a on-ground fact-finding mission? Because I hear that lately. Fact-finding missions in foreign countries is now the thing to do, even if it's even if it's quiet. So I say, if such things are being mentioned,
it is the norm. You send a world delegation here and they do an investigation. And I think it's time now that this must be done so that we can get this continual scenario of Donald Trump and us over and done with.
Well, Neil, what do you make of the secret trip to Israel by MPs from the Democratic Alliance, the Patriotic Alliance, and the African Christian Democratic Party? That fact-finding mission, had they not been there often enough to find facts?
Chris, it's a small, small world. Isn't there a song like that? It's a small, small world, isn't it, Mr. Jack? It's a very small world. Rumor, the drums are beating, is that a person I know very, very much was also in Israel. Israel is not small, eh? I mean, Tel Aviv, Jerusalem. What are the chances that this very close friend of mine walks smack bang into this delegation whilst there? I mean, Chris, this is, I don't know, this is just a epitome of laughter. And this person I absolutely am so close to nearly dies seeing who this is. So there they are, definitely not anymore a secret and definitely not unexposed. The acknowledgement now is that a couple of members of parliament of the DA, of the Patriotic Alliance, and of the ACDB were there to meet, in actual fact, the president of Israel, not the prime minister, and several other members of authority. They are now saying that it was paid for by a entity called the South African Friends of Israel, and that they were there on a personal fact-finding mission. It wasn't official, and it was definitely not meant to be a diplomatic mission. Now, okay, because if I want to go, I can go. I will then go, and people will say, well, you know, the president of the UIM was in Israel and he met him. Yeah, sure. What is important, though, Chris, is if you come back, you need to do some form of report. You know, no matter what you went there for, you will still be recognized as very public people. That is just what follows you when you put your face on a poll and you say, I am a public representative. When they were asked, they said there was actually nothing to see. So the comments are non-de-plume. It is non-consequential. But here's, Chris, the catch that I am putting on my bait, on my hook, on my rod in the sea. The following. Forget about the PA, who already has acknowledged blatantly, and Gaitan has made no secret about it, that he is a follower of the Israeli system. So has the DA and obviously the ACDP. I don't think there's a shock there. I think they have declared it. But what I cannot get is that the official government of this republic, the one that has gone with such fanfare to do everything possible to make Iran happy, that group has not gone to Israel as the official diplomatic corps, taking little Ronald Lamola with, and forming again some form of détente. So therefore, it is clear that Durko is broken. There is no effective mindset to fix America, fix Israel, fix Palestine, or fix any other matter in this world where we once were a great role player, peacemaker, and beloved country of Nelson Mandela. And that is what I think of that story.
Well, Neil, in the interest of full disclosure, I myself have just returned from the Middle East, but then I was in both Israel and Palestine. I don't think our delegation...
Chris, when you bumped into the delegation, okay?
Well, interestingly enough, it just so happened that I heard about their presence there one night in Tel Aviv, but I didn't run into him. I was not the one.
But you can imagine, Chris, being in the area, how small the world.
Mm-hmm. I don't think anybody can expect to keep a trip like that secret.
No, because I also said, it, you know, the fat lady always sings. It always comes out. But I think it's disappointing not to know what the actual results were. Many of us have not been. The truth still lies on the crossing points. The truth lies within the saint. And people that go there and come back there, I've never been blessed and privileged to either be in Gaza, Palestine, Lebanon, or Israel for the sake of my history. I would love to go because I think you get a better perspective. You can speak of a better perspective and reality. So, you know, I would expect that the feedback from the DA, PA, and ACDP would be forthcoming because we would like to know their perspective, irrespective of what it is.
What about reports that they had found that there was no apartheid there, Neil? Did you see that?
I didn't see that. But, you know, Chris, at the end of the day, we need to take everything into consideration. And it is a very sad moment when a word that has left so many people in this country heartbroken, has left many, many families destitute, have actually ruined many families on both sides of the politics, that word now, apartheid, is being used in the Middle East conflict. I just think it is a sad state of affairs.
Neil, before I say goodbye to you, is there anything else you would like to comment on regarding the politics of the past 2 weeks while I was in a different place?
Yeah, Chris, just a little bit of a, call it a flyby synopsis. We still fighting and arguing about scenarios of the defense situation. We are currently fighting still the fact that we want the NPA to step up the matters. And then lastly, Chris, this new, very controversial amendment to the security bill, which deserves a quick 2 minutes, is atrocious. So, Chris, while we were away, CIRA, the controlling body of security, has decided to do an amendment bill that is, in actual fact, going to, in my opinion, destroy the security companies and the capability they have. Chris, this is shocking. More than 500,000 security officers on the beat and just a few of nearly 120,000 police. Now, Chris, if we are going to remove their guns, if we are going to remove the capability, anarchy, I can tell you, is coming. So this bill needs to be fought with everything of civil society. They are trying to say to us as the public a bunch of hogwash that we are now going to suppress criminality. We don't need more laws, Chris. We are now going to issue a bloody security guard with a ketty, a probable vimbux, and a clay lot with a candle because he's not even allowed to use pepper spray or handcuffs. So, Chris, clearly, this is a dumb move, this is arrogant, and they forget that we know the law. So when I was asked, is this law going to tighten up people that are criminals within security? No, because criminals don't abide by the law. And then finally, Chris, there is something called the Firearms Control Act, specifically Section 21 and 22. Go read it, which allows the police and the law to curb people that are misusing firearms. So why bring in another level of draconian law when the only people that will abide by it is the legal companies who will lose their weapons because they are now being told they can't take weapons into a mall, into a public space, and if you know there's a riot, you have to apply 7 days before it. Who the donor do you know there's going to be a land invasion or a riot on Tuesday because that's the whole point? Fracky, they don't tell you. They just arrive. So by the time they are on the land or they are rioting, nou moet jy jou e-pos skryf. What a absolute ice cream award, Chris, to Mr. Mchunu and the rest of Sira. You come, is jy by me?
get yourselves one. Unbelievable what we are seeing in this country. More laws, just less implementation. We're going to watch this one, Chris, and we will keep our favorite BizNews family totally abreast of the situation.
Thank you, Neil. That was Neil DeBeer of the United Independent Movement back on the Sunday show with me, Chris Steyn. Unfortunately, we won't see you next Sunday because it is Easter Sunday. And I think very importantly, Neil would like to spend that weekend with his family. Thank you, Neil.
Yeah, because I want this country to keep it together for next Sunday. This is irregular. We are not going away. We are here, but deserve a break with family. And then nonstop, we go for it.
Bye, Neil.
Bye-bye, and God bless you, everyone.